afternoon. You're listening to Food for Thought on Siren 107.3 FM with me, Charlotte Reed. On today's show, we make a three-course meal of dough balls, tomato pasta and brownies. But first, this week I spoke to Pauline Moore, the owner of the Greenhouse Coffee Shop. The shop is located in Burton Road, which is near the top of Lincoln's steep hill. Pauline started by telling me what brought her to the coffee shop.
The Greenhouse has been here for a few years, but I was employed and got a bit fed up with what I was doing and was looking for a new challenge, and started searching for a coffee shop to buy and came across the Greenhouse and knew this was the one for me.
Why did you suddenly sort of decide to want to run a coffee shop?
I think it's something that I've always had a hankering to do, and the opportunity came up and it was too good a chance to miss, really.
Why did you decide on this place?
It has a nice ambience to it. It has a really good local clientele. It doesn't rely a great deal on the tourist trade. It does nice food. It's nicely presented. It's in a nice area. And it just had an overall appeal, really. It spoke to me.
Did you come from Lincoln, or was it just a chance?
Yes, I live just outside Lincoln. So I'd been looking at businesses all over the city, really, but as I say, it's a bit like buying a house. You get a feel for the one that's right for you. So I knew this was the one I wanted after I'd seen it.
And when you bought it, was there much you had to do with it, or was it already quite how you wanted it?
It was fairly well established. We've made a few changes with the decor and freshened it up and given it a bit of a spring clean, giving it a new lease of life. We've tampered with the menu slightly. The food was actually quite good quality and quite a varied menu before I came, so I've not had to make a massive amount of changes. We probably just do a slightly wider menu now, and we do a lot more in the way of homemade cakes and cheesecakes and that kind of thing, really. I've concentrated on upping the quality of the food rather than making massive changes to it and just maintaining consistency.
And so you sort of spoke about your cakes there. So what kind of range of cakes and cheesecakes do you do?
Well, cheesecakes we can make in any flavour that you can possibly imagine, but chocolate are always the favourite. The chocolate just fly out the door. Everybody loves chocolate cheesecake. But we do all our own baking. Everything's homemade, from shortbread biscuits and Victoria sponges to triple decker, quite spectacular carrot cakes and all sorts, anything you can possibly imagine, really.
So do you have to wake up quite early to sort of start baking, or...?
Well, yeah, baking's done first thing every day, and there's normally quite a lot to do. It certainly keeps us on our toes and keeps us busy, and we do some outside catering as well, so kind of the baking and the outside catering are the jobs first thing in the morning before we start the day.
So what, apart from the cakes and cheesecakes, what's the sort of most popular thing on your menu?
Chicken curry is really popular. That's homemade, and everybody loves our chicken curry.
Because you never imagine sort of coming to a coffee shop for a chicken curry.
No, and most people, before they come, tend to think that it's more light bites, so sandwiches and toasted tea cakes and scones. But actually, we do a really broad and extensive full lunchtime and breakfast menu, so you can eat as much or as little as you like when you come here, really.
And we'll be coming back to Pauline later in the show when she'll be talking about her well-earned 5-star hygiene rating.
Bit of a challenge, really. You know, it's quite a big achievement because it's the first food catering establishment that I've had. So it was really important to me that we started as we meant to go on.
But moving on now, it's time to make the first recipe of the show, which means that we need to head to the kitchen.
To make garlic dough balls, you'll need flour, preferably some bread flour, yeast, salt, oil, water, butter and garlic. You can vary the amounts depending on how many dough balls you want to make, and all that is explained on the Siren website, which is sirenonline.co.uk. First, pour out the flour. Then add a teaspoon of yeast and a teaspoon of salt, as well as a tablespoon of oil. Before you start mixing, add the water, and then bring all these ingredients together until you have a dough. Then you have to knead this dough for about 10 minutes. This will help it to rise. After that, pop it into a container and leave it somewhere warm for about an hour to rise. An hour or so later, take the dough out of the container and knead it again for a few minutes. Then start taking small parts of the dough, rolling them into balls, and place them on a baking tray. Before putting the dough balls into the oven, put a small knob of butter in a frying pan, as well as some garlic. Once these have melted, spoon a bit of the garlic butter onto each dough ball. And then put the dough balls into the oven for about 20 to 30 minutes.
And if you need any more information about how to make any of the recipes featured on the show, then head to sarenonline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought. And now we're popping back to the kitchen for today's second recipe, which is tomato pasta.
To make this tomato sauce, you'll need to have onions, tomatoes, tomato puree and garlic. But you can play around with the recipe too. You could add bacon, chicken, peppers, or any other types of seasoning that you fancy. So this one simple recipe can have a number of variations. To find out more about this recipe, then head over to sarenonline.co.uk. Start off by pouring some pasta into a saucepan. Add water and allow it to boil on a low heat while you're making the sauce. Next, dice one onion. Add to the frying pan with some oil and start frying them. Now I'm adding bacon, so I'm just going to chop it into slices and then I'll add it to the frying pan with the onions once the onions have started turning soft. Once everything in the frying pan is cooked, add a tin of chopped tomatoes as well as some tomato puree and garlic and then just stir them in. Allow the sauce to thicken and add any other herbs that you would like to season the sauce. And then you're ready to serve.
If you do try out any of the recipes that we do on the show, then let me know. Head to the Siren website to find out how you can get in touch with me. But also, let me know what you think of the restaurants and the cafes we feature on the show. This week, I visited the Greenhouse Coffee Shop, which is owned by Pauline Moore, who told me about the people who visit her shop regularly.
We do have a really good, loyal local following, but when I took over, I was quite surprised when we get new customers through by just how many people are really local to us and didn't know we were here, unless you happen to be driving down this part of Burton Road. A lot of people didn't know we existed. It is quite difficult because obviously advertising is very expensive, but the best way is recommendations. Word of mouth, getting a satisfied customer, and then they bring back their friends and their family, and that's the thing that works best, I think, really. The other thing that works quite well is we do monthly tapas evenings, and we started doing them in February, and we're now getting repeat customers from that, so people are coming back with a different group of friends and different family, and that works really well because everybody has a really nice time and the food is just a bit different. It's not the standard daytime menu that we do, and everything's handmade and all home prepared and all really good quality ingredients, so that seems to work really well. We get really good feedback from that.
So what happens on those tapas nights then?
Well, people arrive around about 7:30 in the evening. We do six courses and we send out each course individually, so it's all in a platter and everybody helps themselves. And the table is booked for the whole of the evening. We don't turn the tables round, so there's no rush. And it's all the kind of food that's good for sharing. So things that people can all dip into and all sorts of really healthy local produce. We just try and prepare it to a really high standard and people seem to really enjoy it. And we're fully licensed as well, so you can have a glass of wine with it and it makes for something a bit different in an evening.
And also you started using Twitter. Does that help for any promotional things, or is it just sort of like a fun sideline?
We do use it for promotional things, but that's the one of the things we're trying to do is use it in a bit more real time. So that if we have a particular special on, we can put it on there on the day, uploading some of the photographs of, you know, when we do like a really spectacular cake, or if we do a cake that a customer's actually ordered to take away and it's something a bit different, and trying to put those on just to give people an idea of the variety of things that we do, really.
And you said you're quite proud of your 5-star hygiene rating. What do you have to do in order to get that?
Well, obviously everything has to be shiny, sparkly, yeah. Very clean, behind all the nooks and crannies and under the freezers, making sure that the food is all probed when it's prepared so that it's you can prove it's been heated to the right temperatures.
And is that a sort of, obviously it's an important thing for business, but was it sort of very important for yourself to sort of get a kind of tick?
Yes, it was a bit of a challenge, really. You know, it's quite a big achievement in because it's the first food catering establishment that I've had. So it was really important to me that we started as we meant to go on. It was kind of a marker. The difficulty we've set ourselves now, of course, is that we've got to maintain that all the time. I would be mortified if we lost it and we went down to a four, but I'm sure that won't happen.
And what's the biggest thing you've learned since taking over?
That the customer is key, and that if you give the customer good service and good quality food and you're polite and friendly and treat them nicely, that they're very loyal and they'll keep coming back, and that you mustn't compromise on standards, and maintaining a high standard is everything really to maintaining the good and loyal customer base.
Going forward, what are your plans for Greenhouse in the next sort of few months, a year?
Well, we're going to start a Greek night, which will be based on the same kind of scheme, the same format as the tapas evening. We're also doing a curry night in August to help local charities, and we're looking to do possibly a curry night quite regularly in the future. And then we're hoping to, we have an upstairs room, and we're trying to get more into the ladies' luncheon parties. We've had a couple, and they're always such a really nice crowd. It's a lovely atmosphere, and everybody's really friendly. So we're trying to develop our kind of use of that room upstairs for more private parties, and using the tapas night as a theme for birthday parties, for example. And that kind of just broadening the horizons from the normal day-to-day coffee shop work.
That was Pauline from the Greenhouse Coffee Shop chatting to me earlier this week. If you'd like to listen to the interview in full, then go to the Siren website, where you can also listen to past interviews that we've had on Food for Thought. And now for today's pudding, which means popping back to the kitchen for one last time.
This is quite an easy-to-do chocolate brownies recipe, which needs lots of plain chocolate, eggs, self-raising flour, butter, sugar and vanilla essence. To find out more about these ingredients, then head over to sirenonline.co.uk, where you'll also find some handy video guides. Now start off by preparing your tin by lining it with baking sheets. Then to start the baking, put the sugar, eggs and vanilla essence into a bowl and beat them together. Now you need to start melting the chocolate and the butter together. To do this, you need to fill a saucepan with water and put a heatproof bowl on top. This means that the chocolate will melt nicely and won't burn. Put the chocolate into the bowl. Turn on the heat and leave it to melt. Once the chocolate has melted, add the butter and leave that to melt too, stirring it in occasionally. The next bit can be messy because you have to pour the melted chocolate into the sugar and egg mixture. Once you've done that, stir them together. Next, add the flour and fold it into the mixture. Then you need to pour this mixture into the baking tin and then put it into the oven for around 40 minutes. Once you've taken the brownies from the oven, allow them to cool.
And with these brownies, it's also best to leave them to cool in the fridge overnight. But as we've made pudding, that means today's Food for Thought is over. If you want to listen to anything again, then it's all on the website, which is sirenonline.co.uk. And if you have any thoughts on the show, or you've made any of the recipes that we feature on the show, then please do let me know and I'll give you a special mention here on Siren. So until next week, that's it from me. Bye!